listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Because Rod and Karen are hot.
Inside me is a black-eyed animal, bracing in a small stall, as if a bird could grow without breaking its shell, as if the clatter of a thousand blackbirds whipping in a storm could be held in a shell. Inside me is a huge black bull, bald, small enough to fit inside the bead of a nipple ring. I mean, to leave a record of my raptures, I was raised by a beautiful man. I loved his grasp of time. My mother shaped my grasp of space. Would you rather spend the rest of eternity with your wild wings bewildering a cage, or with your four good feet stuck in a plot of dirt? Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're live on a Monday. That's right. Ready to get into some podcasting, guys. Of course, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Search for the Black Guy Who Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews. As long as they're nice, we'll read them on the show. It's that easy. The official weapon of the show is
a taser,
an unofficial sport,
bullet ball,
and bullet ball extreme. That's right, guys. Let's just get right into it. Okay, let's see what news we got going on here. Okay, how about this? Kroger will stop selling guns of all kinds, not just the AR-15, not just the ones to people over the age of 21 or whatever. All of them, all the guns,
right?
Period.
They was like, we'll fix them problems. We won't have nobody making these fuck ass lawsuits. But I walked in there and they wouldn't say, nope, you can't buy them here, period.
The nation's biggest supermarket chain. What? We never see Kroger's around here.
All the Kroger's around here closed years ago. What are we talking about?
They said on Monday that it would phase out all sales of firearms and ammunition at 132 Fred Meyer stores, which are located in four western states, Alaska, Idaho, Oregon, and Washington. Kroger brand stores do not carry firearms, and guns were still being sold only at 43 of Kroger's Fred Meyer locations, a company spokesperson emailed. So they were kind of getting out of it anyway.
Right, probably and, profitable.
Yeah, it probably was not making that much money, and you end up being associated with these killings and shit.
Right. Yeah, I would like some bananas, and can you hand me a clip over there?
Right. I mean, how many times you want to look at the news and see they bought the gun from you just in case, you know? Like, oh yeah, they bought these guns from Kroger. Oh shit. Well, we'll take two weeks off of selling them.
And Kroger is like, hey, Kroger, we don't sell guns. Fred Meyer, which is associated with us, we probably own them, they sell the guns, but when people say Kroger, they think us.
Plus, guns don't really seem like the kind of thing that sell, like, they don't seem like shoes or, like, there's never like a gun sale that you like to buy one gun get one free, you know?
Shoot,
like,
you never know, 50% off, you don't never know.
Well, what I mean by this is, at a retailer like this, what's the profit margin in selling a gun?
Very small.
Like, it doesn't sound like the kind of thing where they get the guns super cheap and then turn around and sell them for expensive. You know, like, there's a better chance to get a percentage off of a fucking Blu-ray player at Best Buy.
Come on!
Than probably a gun, you know what I mean? I mean, I'm sure they have some sales. I'm not saying that. Never say never, not saying all. Don't write me no fucking emails. But just in general, like, for a retailer like that, the profit margin must not be that fucking crazy if they're ready to get out of the game. You know?
Yeah, and it was like, we was phasing out anyway. Did A, this help us speed it up? And B, now we don't have to worry about people fucking protesting the regular ass Kroger store that don't sell them. You know how many times they was like, Kroger's does not sell these items. But I'm hearing, Kroger is Fred Meyer's, not Kroger's. You know, I bet you they got tired of that alone in itself. They was like, fuck it. Just no, we ain't selling them nowhere.
Well, not just that, but like, how much negative publicity comes with selling the guns versus how much positive publicity comes how much positive comes with selling the guns. Think about Delta, right? Delta got all this shit and they were like, oh, we're gonna take away the NRA discount. But then when Delta revealed the numbers, they're like, this discount was nothing. Nobody was even using it.
Right. And that's what happened. A lot of times these people have a fit. But when you go through the numbers and statistics, a very, very small percentage of Americans actually own guns. They just own a lot of them motherfuckers. But a very small percentage of the population actually own guns.
All right. So, all right. contraceptive pill for men is closer to development, but will men remember to take it? A contraceptive pill for men has come closer, a step closer to development, taken daily like a female pill. It switches off a man's testosterone and the hormones that cause sperm production. This should bring the sperm count low enough so that a man cannot get his partner pregnant. Researchers have given the tablet to men for a month, and it did not cause liver damage, a side effect shown in previous trials of oral hormonal contraceptives. Past attempts to give men contraception have focused on injections or gels, but experts say that men may find it easier to take a pill. While there is a fear that men may forget to take the tablets, researchers hope this can be addressed by a longer lasting ingredient that means they can be taken daily rather than twice a day as with previous versions. Oh yeah, twice a day is a little bit different than that once a day, for sure. A 2011 survey found half of women would not rely on a male pill because they did not trust their partners to remember to take it.
And I wouldn't, truth be told, I wouldn't trust it. Dead, like dudes be questioning, I don't trust you, did you take it? I don't trust your remembering. No thank you. And it's one of the things where the pill needs to be there. I think that because it's men, the technology will actually, it's gonna be to the point where the men contraceptives will actually be better than the women contraceptive, because men are like the first little thing that caused any hormonal swing in men. It's a problem. Well, then how you fuck you think women feel? You know, we had to deal with blood clots and all this other kind of shit that goes along with this, and men never cared because they didn't have to deal with it. But now they got to deal with it. So, you know, I'm looking for them to get to the, they do the shots. I'm looking for them, not, you know, they do the shots in your butt or your thigh. I'm looking for them to do the ones they put them in your arms and shit like that. Like, it's gonna be to the point where they're like, well, goddamn, men's contraceptives actually better than women contraceptives. You're gonna fuck around and you're gonna be all around on the corner without a prescription. They're gonna be selling like mixtapes, but I still gotta go to the doctor to get my shit.
Yeah, I think I mostly worry about niggas lying,
right?
You know, and this totally fucked up my plan to get Serena Williams pregnant and trap her with a baby. So if I can't have no, if I can't win, then nobody else can, you know. But it was the only chance to be like, oh, of course I'm on the pill, Oprah, you know. But now, and then we really see where men's morals lie.
Right.
Because it's easy to act like, oh, these women, these gold diggers, these bitches, always doing this, that, and the other to men. Y'all after our money. Y'all always. But that's because we don't have an option. Right. If we had the option to trap women, we would. And this pill is going to be that option. We're just going to give us, finally get the chance to date up in the pool and trap these women with these babies. But nope. Alas. But yeah,
I can't wait to the first case of a woman suing a man for getting pregnant because he lied about taking that pill. Like, that shit gonna happen. She was like, motherfucker, you told me you was on. See,
the fact that we have decades of precedence that you can't sue nobody for that and win, we'll be fine. Because one thing we know about being trash is that men know about being trash. Okay,
come on.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, I mean, first of all, half of women wouldn't trust their partners to tell the truth or to remember, I guess, to remember. Because that's wild.
It's hard for them to remember. Not trying to be funny. Taking the pill every day. A lot of people don't take their vitamins. They don't take their blood pressure, cholesterol, or heart medication every day like they supposed to.
And, yeah, that's just like proof positive that they think men are trash. And then the other thing I was thinking about today was, every woman, like, this is also a sign that men are trash. I was at the store today with you, and, I noticed that every woman that has a big butt owns at least one or two of those, like, sweaters and coats that cover up their butt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? And yeah. It's not because women with big butts be cold all the time. They just get tired of niggas, like, hollering at them and looking at them and saying crazy shit to them. Mm-hmm. Well, I've been noticing it my whole life. I was like, every woman that got a big butt on like a coat or a sweater or something to be like, let me cover this shit up so I can just buy my cereal and make it back to my car without having to get, hey, let me holler at you. You ain't fine then anyway, bitch. You know, like that kind of shit. It's just something I was thinking about today. Now, I was like, that says a lot more about men than anything else.
Right. And women have a lot of techniques that dudes don't even pay even in partners don't even pay fucking attention to, is the sweaters and the coats that cover up your hips. And there's also a lot of women with bigger hips have a tendency to wear longer shirts.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, extensive data shows punishing reach of racism for black boys. This is in the New York Times. Black boys raised in America, even in the wealthiest families and living in some of the most well-to-do neighborhoods, still earn less in adulthood than white boys of similar backgrounds, according to a sweeping new study that traced the lives of millions of children. White boys who grew up rich are likely to remain that way. Black boys raised at the top, however, are more likely to become poor than to stay wealthy in their own adult households. I wonder why this only did boys. Wonder what was up with this study.
No, nobody care about girls.
Interesting. Even when children grow up next to each other with parents who earn similar incomes, black boys fare worse than white boys.
I can tell you why.
Why?
Because patriarchy. Because normally men earn more than women on average. Mm-hmm. So, and you're under the assumption that most likely women's income is going to be lower anyway. So, I might be wrong, but I think that probably has more, because look like you would have did boys and girls.
Right. The gaps only worsen in the kind of neighborhoods that promise low poverty and good schools. According to the study led by researchers at Stanford, Harvard, and Census Bureau, income inequality between blacks and whites is driven entirely by what is happening among these boys and the men they become. Though black girls and women face deep inequality on many measures, black and white girls from families with comparable earnings attain similar individual incomes as adults. Oh, so they did measure it, but black boys are the ones being left behind. Okay. Yeah, I was gonna, yeah. That was gonna be my answer when you were saying, the patriarchy and stuff. I was thinking also, black women achieve higher. They go to college more, right. They employ more, mm-hmm, they get more better degrees. Jobs, they make more money.
Mm-hmm.
So, the same pitfalls that hit the boys might not hit the girls is the same. You know, there's the number one group of growing entrepreneurs in America. Like,
educated.
Yes, I mentioned that earlier. So like, I think, it might be that the boys are the ones that are being left behind, and that's why the study says so, you know.
Mm.
The other thing too, I mean, there's different reasons for that. I think part of the reason is that we do raise boys to be, more dependent and less serious. And it's almost like, Michelle Obama said, when she was like, we raise our girls, but we mother our boys, or something like that, where it's like the boys get to kind of be, they're not treating it seriously. Like, your studies don't need to be as serious. Your behavior doesn't need to be as serious. Your education, as far as like your goals beyond high school and shit, don't need to be as serious. It's almost like, it'll work out, you're a boy. With girls, it's like one pitfall and you're done. Don't get pregnant. Don't, you know, boys just don't get anybody pregnant, but, it's a lot less of a, disappointment, you know, as opposed to when a girl gets pregnant, at a young age, there's a lot more disappointment and shame and what you gonna do now and all this type of shit, you know?
True. And also too, when you say that boys are considered dependable, like I said, most boys, this is more going towards straight boys, are taught to be like heads of household. So not all, but some dudes would actually forego certain things to actually provide for their household. Mm. They might not go get that degree. They might not be willing to go into the arts and things that's not a actual, you don't know when and how you're gonna get paid, you know. More for women, not that women have too much more flexibility, but you know, women are like, hey, I want to do this, that, and other. You have a little bit more flexibility, but a lot of that goes to the privilege of being higher educated and all these other things too.
Yeah, that's true. And then the thing that's also weird is knowing that black women for the most part end up married to, partnered with, co-parenting with black men, it still is an effect overall on black women's lives, you know. So it's like, what impacts black men, it still ends up impacting the community.
Correct.
You know, But I don't know if they went to that far in the study.
Yeah, and also a lot of this boils down to variation of different things, which they the study part, and they get into it, get into egos, it get into you know, because a lot of men are my woman better not make more money than me type of thing. They're into, you know, wanting to control her because a variation of different things. Like, it's a lot of other factors that might be, you know.
Well, clearly these women are earning this money regardless of that, you correct. Know, because I think there's still a self motivation factor that is in there. Like, I can't be spending my whole life waiting on some nigga that's not making as much as me to try to take care of me on not because of his ego.
Come on.
So I you know, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of women like holding themselves back waiting on some nigga, you know. But one of the things I think is interesting too, though, is the study is based on like household income via like taxes and shit. So, you know, there's a lot of loopholes and shit on how you can figure out people's wealth via that.
Mm-hmm.
And then also when they keep saying escape poverty as earn a certain salary. The reason that the cycle of poverty is different when you don't have generational wealth.
Come on.
So a white person, even with a lower salary, could still escape poverty and not be impoverished because they'd have more of a floor underneath them than a black person in the exact same situation without generational wealth to kind of help them out, whether it be a job that someone can offer them, whether it be money or a loan, you know, all kinds of shit that black people may not have access to because of our history in this country.
Right. And then if you add race, and racism plays a factor into this also, which is that X factor that nobody ever wants to calculate into these things also.
Yeah, the study based on anonymous earnings and demographic data for virtually all Americans now in their late 30s debunks a number of other widely held hypotheses about income inequality. Gaps persisted even when black and white boys grew up in families with the same income, similar family structure, similar education levels, and even similar levels of accumulated wealth. The disparities that remain also can't be explained by differences in cognitive ability, an argument made by people who cite racial gaps in test scores that appear for both black boys and girls. If such inherent differences existed by race, you got to explain to me why these putative ability differences aren't handicapping women, said David Gruski, a Stanford sociologist who has reviewed the research. A more likely possibility, the author suggests, is that test scores don't accurately measure the abilities of black children in the first place.
No, because a lot of tests are biased. A lot of tests are racist. You have a lot of children. I know for me personally, I don't test well. I just don't test well. Mm-hmm. Like, at all. Like, just tests are, like, draining to me. And you could take those same questions and verbally ask me, and I could spit the answers to you. But actually just sitting there and reading and comprehending, I don't test well.
One of the most popular liberal post-racial ideas is the idea that the fundamental problem is class and not race. And clearly this study explodes that idea, says Ibram Kendi, a professor and director of the Anti-Racist Research and Policy Center at American University. But for whatever reasons, we're unwilling to stare racism in the face. The authors, including Stanford economist Raj Chetty and two census researchers Maggie R. Jones and Sonia R. Porter, tried to identify neighborhoods where poor black boys do well as whites. The problem, Mr. Chetty says, is that there are essentially no such neighborhoods in America. The few neighborhoods that met that standard were in areas that showed less discrimination in surveys and tested racial bias. They mostly have low poverty rates, and intriguingly, these pockets, including parts of Maryland suburbs and Washington and corners of Queens and the Bronx, were the places where many lower income black children had fathers at home. Poor black boys did well in such places, whether their own fathers were present or not.
Right.
Yeah, that's just, I mean, it's just wild. This is wild. I don't know. I don't know how you quantify all that shit, and how much, you know, is dealing. I mean, it sounds like they're breaking it down to just like racism is fucking this shit up, which is not hard to believe. But then also, wouldn't racism mess it up for black girls too? So
yes,
I don't know how that would, you know.
Yeah.
And of course I worry about the idea, you know, the myth of the like superhuman black girl that's just, you know, black girl magic and none of this shit bothers them and they do great no matter what you throw at them and all that shit, because that's not necessarily a healthy thing to tell somebody.
It's not healthy and it's not realistic, and that's why a lot of black women have mental breakdowns.
Right, and it makes it seem like I must be bad at, you know, I must be a bad person if I can't overcome these obstacles by myself.
Right, and it's one of those things where when it comes to mental health, your mental health is very important. Mm-hmm. And particularly when it comes to black women, a lot of times in a lot of families with a cornerstone for everybody, even including our husband, you know, you have a lot of households where the husband doesn't really help the wife do things around the house like he should, and the wife is literally trying to do everything in the household, even though, you know, it's two parents in the household don't mean that the woman ain't doing everything in the household. People don't understand that. You got two parents, that don't mean shit. If the man ain't doing his fair share, he not helping out and he ain't doing shit. Two parent household don't mean a goddamn thing in that situation. So you have a lot of women that are in quote unquote two parent households, but she's functioning and running like a single parent household. So a lot of times people don't take that into factoration, and
I don't know how you would factor that in, you know, and that's not right. Just a black thing, that's a everybody thing,
right? But I'm doing particularly with black women, because it's that, oh, you're strong, you can handle everything, you can take everything, and but yet when she has a mental breakdown, the household don't function right, and then because the husband hasn't been helped and hadn't trained or don't know how to run anything in a lot of those situations, as far as like the household things, the household goes to shit, and the woman really doesn't have the time, can't take the time off work, can't go to the doctor, can't really get the help that she needs so that she can love her house like she should. And those play a big factor into that strong woman being able to do everything. We're not invincible, we're actually all human beings.
Yep. Nah, it's absolutely, I mean, we still kind of infantilize men, right? Like,
correct.
Like, I worry about that with studies like this, but I'm glad to have this data out here, I'm glad to have this conversation, but I worry about it because we get infantilized so much, and we're centered in the conversation about discrimination so much that we almost get to this point where it's like, we don't need to listen to anybody, we don't need to improve on anything, there's no damage that we could possibly do to the community, it's just we're the victims and everybody else just needs to deal with it, you know, deal with us, you know.
Right, and it's one of those things too, to where in a lot of structures, when the woman actually says, I need help, it becomes a motherfucking problem. When she says, right, hey, I don't need a whole lot, what I need for you to do is maybe wash the dishes, I don't need a whole lot, what I maybe need for you to do is bathe the kids, like, I'm not asking you to break the bank and break a sweat, I just need a little bit of help. And some men just lose their motherfucking minds, like, kids ain't my thing, I don't buy with no kids. And you know what, that affects the relationship that the children have with the fathers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, they do talk about that bit. That is a path-breaking finding, said William Julius Wilson, a Harvard sociologist whose books have chronicled the economic struggles of black men. They're not talking about the direct effects on of a boy's own parents' marital status. They're talking about the presence of fathers in a given census tract. Other fathers in the community can provide boys with role models and mentors, researchers say, and their presence may indicate other neighborhood factors that benefit families, like lower incarceration rates and better job opportunities. Yeah, because that's one of the things, if people's fathers are around, or fathers are in the community, that may indicate some other positives, that, you know, not just about an individual choice, so I'm gonna raise my kid, but just simply like, hey man, I'm not in jail, you know what I mean, I was able to go to college, I'm able to work. The research makes clear that there is something unique about the obstacles black males face. The gaps between Hispanics and whites is narrower, and their incomes will converge within a couple of generations if mobility stays the same. Asian Americans earn more than whites raised at the same income level, or about the same when first generation immigrants are excluded. Only Native Americans have an income gap comparable to African Americans, but the disparities are widest for black boys. Yeah, that's another thing too, I would think too, is like, if you're using census and tax data, then what about people that have, like, you know, culturally it's okay for them to have multiple families in the house and shit, if you're just going by tax data, you know what I mean? How does that work? Like, does that inflate it? You know, I don't know. This crystallizes and puts data behind this thing that we always knew was there because we either felt it ourselves or we've seen it over time, said Will Jawando, who worked in the Obama White House for On My Brother's Keeper, a mentoring initiative for black boys. Even without this data, the people who worked on the project said, believed that individual and structural racism targeted black men in ways that required policies devised specifically for them. Mr. Jawando, the son of a Nigerian father and a white mother, grew up poor in Silver Spring, Maryland. The Washington suburb contains some of the rare neighborhoods where black and white boys appear to do equally well. Mr. Jawando, who identifies as black, is now a married lawyer with three daughters. He is among the black boys who climbed from the bottom to the top. He was one of 20 million children. All right, this is individual story. previous research suggests some reasons there may be a large income gap between black and white men, but not between women, even though women of color face both sexism and racism. Other studies show that boys across races are more sensitive than girls to disadvantages like growing up in poverty or facing discrimination. While black women also face negative effects of racism, black men often experience racial discrimination differently. As early as preschool, they are more likely to be disciplined in school. They are pulled over or detained or searched by police officers more often. It's not just being black, but being male that has been hyper-stereotyped in this negative way in which we've made black men scary, intimidating, with a propensity towards violence, said Noelle Hurd, a psychology professor at the University of Virginia. She said this racist stereotype particularly hurts black men economically. Now that service sector jobs require interaction with customers have replaced the manufacturing jobs that previously employed men with less education. Yeah, because then it's like you gotta go out and talk to the public, and if the public has already demonized you as a fucking criminal, rapist,
come on, drug dealer, and as anybody that has had any type of job dealing with the general public, you know people ain't shit, particularly if you do anything like cashiering or ringing up groceries and shit like that. Motherfuckers are crazy. They'll want to throw their change at you. Just bullshit.
The new data shows that 21% of black men raised at the very bottom were incarcerated. According to a snapshot of a single day during the 2010 census, black men raised in the top 1% by millionaires were as likely to be as incarcerated as white men raised in households earning about $36,000. Shit.
Yep.
At the same time, boys benefit more than girls from adult attention and resources, as do low income and non-white children. A variety of studies have found. Yeah, see, that's the other thing too. While black men, black boys may be targeted in a different way, we're also lifted up and supported in a different way as well.
Come on.
You know, like our community definitely goes up for the boys first.
Right, because it's one of those things where women are attacked too, mm-hmm. but women do see men being attacked. Like, we see mm-hmm. it too, and that's why a lot of women have an unconditional love for black men. Sometimes illogical and irrational, but we have a love for black men because we see your hurt and your pain is our hurt and our pain. Women know that you're not doing well affects the whole community. Women know that if you're not in the place where that you can provide, it affects the whole community. Like, we women are forced to think about the bigger picture. Men aren't always forced to think about the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm. They said, you know, also just seeing like basically these black male role models, even if they're not your family, it appears to make a difference in a lot of black boys' lives.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just seeing, like, they only have to be your parents. They just, a black father who's just around, a black dude who's just around doing okay, seems to give black boys a boost.
Right, and I know a lot of men are problem solvers. Like, men kind of think, how can I, quote-unquote, solve this problem? And a lot of times, things get heavy. Men go, I can't solve them. Sometimes, you don't have to actually solve the problem. Sometimes, your presence is the solution. Like, sometimes volunteering is the solution. You know, sometimes just being around a child that's not yours as children, period, but particularly a black boy, is the solution. And that's a simple solution, but sometimes you have to do the small stuff.
Yeah. Other findings from the research study makes it possible to look in greater detail at interrelated disparities that researchers have long studied around income, marriage rates, and incarceration. Here are a few other findings. There's a large gap in the marriage rate of white and black Americans, even after accounting for income. So people aren't getting married.
It's expensive.
One reason income gaps between whites and blacks appear so large at the household level is that black men and women are less likely to be married. That means that households are more likely to have a single income, not two. For this reason and others, many point to differences in family structure as a primary driver of racial income inequality. If black children don't get married parents, the argument goes they're more likely to grow up with fewer resources and less adult attention at home. This study found, however, that broad income disparity still exists between black and white men, even when they are raised in homes with the same incomes and the same family structure. So it's just a convenient myth.
Correct.
To vilify black people and their family. Like, y'all don't have no families and shit.
Mm-mm. White men walk away too. People act like this is not only a black thing.
Well, that's not just about the walking away and being absentee fatherhood and all that shit. That's not what they're saying. That it's not saying, well, that's not true, it's not happening. What they're saying is, even if you only study families that are not like that,
okay,
here's a black family with two parents in the house, and you know all the stuff that you claim to want, even if we adjust for that, the kids that come out of that house don't do as well monetarily as white people do.
Right.
Now, what could possibly be the problem? Because y'all said these families would fix everything. But clearly that's not what it is.
It's a deeper issue.
Yeah. As this chart shows, a black man raised by two parents together in the 90th percentile makes around $140,000 a year. He earns around the same, that his family makes around $140,000 a year when he's a kid. He earns around the same in adulthood as a white man raised by a single mother making $60,000 alone. The high mobility rate for Asian Americans is partly about immigration. Asian Americans earn more in adulthood than whites who were raised in families with similar incomes, but that advantage largely disappears when researchers look only at children whose parents were born in the United States. Non-immigrant Asian Americans fare about as well in this economy as whites. The study did not divide immigrant mothers into smaller groups by origin. The worst places for poor white children are almost all better than the best places for poor black children.
That's ism.
Yep. Very few non-white Americans started at the very top. Well, yeah, that was pretty
obvious.
Yeah. anyway, it was just an interesting article in the Times. It's called Extensive Data Shows Punishing Reach of Racism for Black Boys. Yeah. And so I don't know. I saw a thread on Twitter where what was her name? It's like a long name. Yeah, it's like, okay, let me click on this side. IBJIYONGI was her name on Twitter, and she had a thread about this article as well that was kind of asking some of the questions around how much study has been dedicated to just black boys and black men, and then we turn around and go, see, racism affects them differently, but it's also because we don't really study the girls. You know, so it's just kind of easy to say that. All right, let's see.
Because the thing is, racism affects men and women differently because their tactics and strategies are somewhat different, but it's still attacking both groups of people. And yeah, it would be interesting to really see somebody delve into that, because if you start delving into that, you'll start dealing with racism, sexism, and then you will really have to get into how black men affect black women. You know, like, you would have to delve into a lot of different factors. Like, it, you know, for the men, it's, I'm gonna say straightforward, it's more of a simple, it's simpler, you know, when you're trying to do your X, Y's, and Z's. But women, there's other factors that sometimes they don't want to go into because they don't want to delve into all these X factors that might come up in their calculations.
Yeah, I think it's weird, because not weird, but it's kind of this fine balance, this fine line, because there's a lot of research into black men, black boys, done by black men, black boys, grown up, you know, data researchers and stuff. There's a lot of books around it. There's a lot of endangered species, you know, and I mean, I'm not saying it's not a problem. Obviously, I feel as a black male, I do feel targeted. I do feel hunted. I do feel vilified in a way that, you know, I don't know that it's the same for everybody. You know what I mean? Like, that's not to say that it's worse or better, but simply that I do know it's different. You know what I mean? But I think because we've been so much victimized by racism and targeted, people are scared of that next step that we would take from stuff like this and be like, well, black girls are doing fine, so let's just not worry about them. And I think that's the big elephant in the room,
right,
that people get scared about. And they're like, why do we keep doing these studies? Why do we keep talking, centering on black men? Why aren't we talking about black girls and stuff? Because black girls are still affected. Number one growing group of incarcerated people in America is black women. So like, isn't, you know, this, like, while there's excellence for black women, there's also a targeting as well, you know. And I think one of the things that I don't know, I don't, like, it's just off the top of my head, but one of the things I think could help is if we treated black boys like we treat black girls. But I don't think our society is ready for that.
Mm-mm.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't think, like, because I'm not really sure that the way we treat black girls is good.
It is.
You know what
not.
I'm saying? So like, I would hate to prescribe that as a fix, because you might be able to get similar achievement and numbers and shit, but that's also kind of fucked up how we raise black girls. It's very much like, hate yourself, hate your body, hate sex, just hate everything, but and then sit up here and you know, worship at the feet of black men. You have to be like, ready to be a mother, ready to be the provider of your household, you have to still go to the workforce, you still have to, like, there's a lot that we put on their plates, which is, you know, I don't think it's a secret as to that's why black girls achieve more, but we definitely as a culture expect more.
Right,
you know?
They're forced to mature early, they're forced to be grown early, you know.
Yeah, there's, like, no sports outlet for black women where we go, well, she can be an NBA player or something, because I see black people that'll push their kids into sports almost like the lottery, like he might be the next LeBron James, and we're very proud of male athletic achievement in that way.
Correct.
But with women, we're never like it. That's just like you can't ever go, I'm gonna be in WNBA, and your mom go, well, that's cool. It's like, well, then your ass need to be studying still. You need to work. What you gonna do for college? It's a lot more to it, despite you being excellent at athletics or whatever. But I think it's just a different type of pressure for the different genders, and that's just being on the binary gender whole thing.
Right. You're not going into the other scales when you're talking about LGBTQ and all, you're just talking about just straight.
Right. So I don't know, you know. Speaking of that, white men challenge diversity efforts in workplaces. Two high-profile legal cases in which white men have accused employers of discrimination or retaliation have put a spotlight on U.S. companies' efforts to make career advancement more accessible to women and people of color. The white man. Somebody always holding them down.
The real victims.
A recruiter is accusing YouTube of retaliating against him after he complained to the video site that they discriminated against white and Asian male applicants in favor of hiring other people of color and women.
Maybe you just ain't good enough. You know, and it's funny though, a lot of times it's a lot of mediocre white people that succeed just being fucking mediocre on a lot of shit, and they just ain't good enough a lot of times, and they don't want to accept that they ain't good enough, and that sometimes that nigger or that brown person is actually better than you, and their thing is, how dare you actually be better than me, how dare you look at it. It's like every time a black person get a position, is that's a position a white person could have got. Mm-hmm. Versus 99.9 fucking percent of everybody in this goddamn room is white. You put one in here, you lose your fucking mind, get out of here.
Yeah, I just thought that was cute. Like, I'm the real victim of discrimination. Fuck these other hundreds of years and decades and studies and proof that it's more beneficial to be a white man. Y'all hired two black people last week at a Mormon. What's going on?
Come on, dog. Come on. And the thing is, out of all the white people, some of y'all gonna be I at your job. You gonna be all right. Like, you ain't gonna be the cream of the crop.
You know what bothers me the most about this is that there must be literally at this point hundreds, if not thousands, of articles since the election of Donald Trump that they really go out and interview these fragile ass white people who have decided that racism is about what white people are going through, and have decided that, you know, to throw in their lot with Trump, to be anti diversity, to be anti women, all this shit. And they get, I mean, this is the Wall Street Journal, you know what I mean? Like, it's really amazing to see people that honestly are not being discriminated against but have decided that they are. And these are the people that will say shit like, black people are always being victims, Democrats teach people to be victims. And then they be the ones that the New York Times has to drive out to Montana to interview. It's really amazing. If I could just rub a lamp and a genie came out and I could just make a wish, one of my wishes would literally be to have like The Root or somebody just every week publish a mundane piece on a black person since 2016. Just the same vein of just, cause it's all the same article. Do you regret voting for Trump? No. Do you think he's doing a good job? Yeah. What about all the lies and shit? That's bullshit, fake news, da da da. I lost my job at the plant, but it ain't Mr. Trump's fault. He's doing his best. You know, it's the same thing. This guy's in the alt-right and he was, at the Charlottesville rally. He says, you know, hey, I just think America is a white nation and I'm tired of being sad about being white. Why can't I be proud of my whiteness? I don't understand, blah, blah, blah. And they do the article again and a fucking again and again. I just want a black version of that every week. I'd retweet the fuck out of it. I'd share it every week. Just black people being left behind in Trump's America. It's just a black person not smiling, looking at the camera. Cause you know, they always do that. It's like I seen one the other day. It was a white girl looking at the camera and the background was a fucking Confederate flag. And it was like, what about the white people being left behind in Trump's America?
Cause white people care about whiteness.
I know, but I just wish we could troll. I wish, like, I don't get, ebony.com was just like every week was just
and
profiling.
If somebody was smart, they would do that.
This nigga does groceries in Wisconsin. Let's catch up with him since 2016. Oh man, I voted for Hillary, dog. I don't even really like her, but still, like, I ain't trying to fucking
yes!
be no slave. This is some bullshit, man. These white people crazy out here, man. Well, what do you think about the job Trump has done so far? Oh, that nigga sucks. He lying, getting caught cheating.
Come
like,
on.
Like, grabbing pussies and shit. Like, every week, just another nigga.
Don't read every fucking article.
And it's just the same interview over and over, because that's all these interviews ever are.
Right.
Like, it's not like the interviews are like, you know, oh, this one white person finally said, you know what, I think Trump's fucking up and I don't know what the fuck I was thinking. Like, it's always like, I don't regret a goddamn thing. I need a cold to come back or whatever. Like, I just want to see niggas get interviewed. But like, these white people crazy as fuck. Cole? Nigga, Cole ain't coming back? Are you
come
crazy?
On.
You trying to die in a fucking mind collapse? I hope y'all die in a mind collapse. Like, over and over. Why can't I just have the pull to make that
come
happen
on.
Just every fucking week, just another nigga staring at the camera, just because that's all the pictures always
look
the same.
Yeah, he'd be staring at the camera. They would do the Wakanda cross, you have Wakanda flag like in the background.
And I don't know if you've read any of these articles, but they're always so nice. They're so nice,
right?
And black people, we don't never get articles written like this. You know, when we get articles written like this, when something tragic happens to us, when it's like, this woman's son was killed by the cops, and then it's Velma Jones' house is off of Parkwood Avenue. It was originally established in 1985, and she moved in and she said, this is gonna be a fresh start for me. She made a fresh cup of tea as I sat down on her couch. It was upholstered with this, that, and you know, like those glowing pieces and shit. We never get that unless something fucked up happened to black people. I just want pieces like that. And nothing fucked up happened. It's just, you just catching up with us. You know, like, cause with these white supremacist pieces, they always be like, you'd never know he was a white supremacist. His house is nice. He has a dog. He has a wife. His kids play in the yard. He has this kind of a car and he does this and he plays basketball up the street and he, you know, and it's all just glowing shit. And then halfway through the argument, like, and he hates niggers and Jews and, he thinks all Latinos are rapists and, should go back to their country. Anyway, you never think that if you walked into his driveway, which is immaculate, you know, like, why can't we get that? You know, I just want that. You know, oh, his sprawling apartment is filled with all sorts of nerd memorabilia, from the Star Wars posters to the Captain America flag.
Yes!
You never know that this man was sick and tired of these white people.
Come on.
If you walked into his house, he made me a cup of tea in his Keurig and I drank it.
Come out.
It was
he
so good
that I want to play Xbox One.
You know, why the fuck can't we get that, man? Jesus Christ, sick of this shit.
Oh yeah, I don't read nan ray one
I know
of them
you
goddamn
don't.
Articles.
I know you was gonna be proud of that.
Yep. I don't give a damn. Fuck y'all.
I knew it. I can't help it, man. I don't read them all. I just they just all are the same. I read like two. And then every once in a while, somebody write another one, and I'll check, like, the first paragraph. First paragraph, always the same. In a sleepy town in Montana, this man who's never seen a nigga hates black people. What did you know? You'd never know by going to his church.
Come on.
Which is a multi-denominational, this, that, and the other. You like
out here in the lily white lily of the lily white United States of America.
I just need a black person puff piece just on everybody that didn't vote for Trump. You know, just all of us. between making jam, he looks at Fox News and says, I'm like, this nigga racist. Mm-mm. Just call him racist. Just save me a click, please. Save me a click. But call, like, this motherfucker racist.
I know, but like, while I was sitting there waiting for her to finish her macaroni and cheese, fried chicken, collard greens, jams, and sweet tea.
Right.
We had a pleasant conversation, and I asked
LaWanda
a few questions.
How do you think that the president's been doing in his first year in office? Terrible as hell, like he always been.
Come on!
Well, first of all, he's a lying son of a bitch. Can we print that? You don't put that in your little paper?
Put some stars, I don't care.
Right.
Yeah, I said it.
Just over and over. I'd read every one of them too. I don't give a fuck.
Now those I'd read.
I'd read it.
I don't give a fuck about these
share
other articles.
It, leave a comment, retweet it, all that shit. Like it. I would favorite it. Whatever.
Yes, star it.
Every fucking interview of just niggas being fed up. Like, these fucking white people. I tell you what I have noticed. These white people starting to act more crazy. I was at the movies and this girl told me, get out her seat. I paid for that ticket. Then she told me, go back to Africa. I said, bitch, this Black Panther. We in Africa.
Come on! We all going to Wakanda, bitch. Find a seat somewhere else.
You never know. You never know LaWanda felt like that. She works at, and she works in the accounting receivable department.
I know.
Of the local, of the local Lowe's. Well, she's surrounded by white people every day.
I know. And
I am sick of these white people at work.
I'll
tell you that much. I was in the break room the other day, and I heard two of these Trump-supporting motherfuckers talking about making America great again. That's what's wrong with the company.
I know somebody talking about running errands. Yeah, talking about, we was with LaWanda as she works at the local TJ Maxx warehouse service center. We was with her as she was going to get some hog balls, some chitlins, some rice, and some pinto beans.
Right. Just document our lives. Let's just do that for a week.
Come on.
You know, I'll be the first one. I'll volunteer. Cause they ain't gonna get me fired. See, that's the only thing. They gonna get all the, you know how we get the white supremacists fired with Black Twitter CSI? They gonna be getting the black people fired. They gonna be doing on her Facebook page. She says Black Lives Matter. Let me call LaWanda. Can we talk to you in human resources real quick? We saw the piece. You were exposed as hating us white people who voted for Trump, and we can't have that. Speaking of which, Hannibal Buress mic got cut after he made rape jokes at Loyola University. Mm-hmm. Rape jokes, the dreaded rape jokes. No funny jokes about rape, right, guys? Can't make that joke.
I don't believe that, but go ahead.
Hannibal Buress won't be silent, censored, restrained, or restricted in any way whatsoever. In case the comedian's uncovering of Bill Cosby's numerous sexual assault allegations wasn't proof enough, taking this incident at Chicago Loyola University. According to the Daily Mail, Buress took the stage for all of 5 minutes before he had his mic cut off because he told child molestation jokes about Catholics. By the way, I forgot to mention, Loyola is a devoutly Catholic school. How Catholic, you ask? Well, the artful troll used an email outlining his restrictions that he was sent by the school in his act. So they sent him an email telling him what he could not make jokes about. And he then was like, oh, I'm definitely gonna make jokes about this shit. Y'all don't get to tell me what to do. And I guess one of the jokes was like, you know, you can't, or one of the things is like, you can't be talking about sexual assault and shit, despite, you know, Catholic, cover up of sexual assault. Matter of fact, can I read this email? How can I make this bigger on my screen? I'm gonna try to make this bigger, y'all. Give me a second. I guess that doesn't do it. What about this? Nope. All right. Oh wait, it zoomed in. That doesn't. Oh damn, because it was moving slow. Let's try it one more time.
Try it. One then more. It got super big on you.
Yeah. It was just moving too slow. All right. It says, "Hi there, Loyola University of Chicago is a Catholic university, so on the offer and contract, we stipulate content restrictions, which management has signed off on. For music and comedy, university and performance notes. Artists to perform radio edit versions of songs. Content restriction. Artists cannot have content about rape, sexual assault, race, sexual orientation, gender. Artists cannot mention legal drugs or the use of." Dog, you can't have jokes about race.
Sex. Who do y'all have up there? The Republican Party? Like, who's making these jokes?
University requests limited use of profanities. Artists may not invite students on stage during the show. Artists may not fraternize the students on or off campus. Let me know if you have any questions. Thanks. So he put this on a projector over the stage. This email that he got. Of course,
I mean, that shit was not funny.
The projection was followed by this flaming middle finger of a joke. He said, "Bitch ass old people, I can project. Y'all fuck kids, right?" The school cut Hannibal's mic immediately. However, the resourceful comic continued his set without one until the school pumped Oscar music over him to drown out his voice. Hannibal reportedly left the stage and came back to a standing ovation. A Twitter user asked why he signed up for the show yet went against the guidelines outline. Buress apparently replied, "Or take it and get paid and still do what you want. Option number two sounds more exciting. Show still went on. What's your point here?" Yeah, so I don't know. I feel like might have to make an exception for him calling out that Catholic university, you know, yeah, covering up sex crimes against children and being like, "But I'm gonna talk about it."
And what kind of dry ass comedians do they have?
Yeah, I don't even want to know.
I mean, you literally can't talk about anything.
Yeah, I think it's funny because people say don't make jokes about rape and shit, but I'm like, don't make jokes saying rape is okay, I guess. I mean, I think that's something, you know, like, I think it's kind of reductive and silly and stupid and dangerous when people are saying shit like it's okay to rape somebody, or
right,
even like those prison, like, you gonna get raped prison jokes and shit. I don't even do those because it's like, prison should not be a place where you get sexually assaulted. Like,
right.
You know, like, if we're talking about rehabilitating people, like, the punitive part of us that wants to see people suffer, rape should be taken off that. Like, it shouldn't be like, it's okay to rape this person. You know, we should be a higher moral caliber than that. But all that being said, if a motherfucker about to go to an institution that has contributed to the covering up and conspiracy of child rape and be like, "Y'all niggas are terrible for that, and I'm making jokes about it and mocking you," I have zero problems with that dude, you know. But, you know, I think we live in a very, like, zero tolerance, like, black and white age when it comes to these things. But to me, it's always nuanced. Like, it's the type of joke. It ain't just you made the joke, but
right,
what is the point of your joke?
Is it really funny? Does it have a punchline? Does it have a purpose? Like, I really think anything could be funny. I can laugh at some shit and know that it is terrible, but if you present it in the right manner, that shit is hilarious, even yeah. about black women.
If your joke is simply black, you're black, ha ha ha, not as funny.
Not funny.
You know? But if you can find a way to work it out a little more sophisticated than that, then we could talk. You know? Where that's regardless of the race of the comic and shit. I'm not really one of those people where I'm like, so-and-so made a joke about race, fuck them. Like, nah, if it's funny, I'm okay with it. It just depends on the joke.
Yeah, some people just don't got a sense of humor. People need to accept that too.
Yeah, that's true too. There's a lot of humorless motherfuckers out there.
A lot of humorless motherfuckers. Like, I've said things and people look at it, I'm like, oh, okay, you don't have a sense of humor. Okay, this, I can't be friends with you if you don't laugh at shit.
Speaking of gallows humor. Fucking with those black people, we're just fucking with those blacks, we're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys, it's time to play the game we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people, the game we go all around the globe find different articles, make us feel fucked with them. We assign point scores from 0 to 100 and rolls of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. All right, let's see who's fucking with me now. Fucking with me now, shout out to Logic. An Oregon banker.
Okay.
Getting them coins, you know what I'm saying, getting that quan. He is out at Wells Fargo after it's revealed that he is a Nazi who marched at Charlottesville.
You need to go back and review them loans he approved. They got him out of there. Yes.
Oh, I love it. Oh, it's nothing better.
Honey,
get a secret Nazi getting exposed. Oh.
They were fucking around. There, somebody heard that going off at Wells Fargo. What is that? Don't worry about it. Don't
Girl,
don't
worry let about me it. Open up my book. Okay.
At Wells, that's where I work at. Oh, I'm on top of the motherfucking case.
Did you say Wells Fargo? Okay.
What department?
Right. Let's go ahead and scan his face into his against his badge for coming to work.
Come on.
Okay, that's him. That's the motherfucker right there. I knew it. Yeah, they went and found this motherfucker. Oh, it's nothing better. We need our own TV show. Okay, I'm just saying. So yeah, I'm gonna show the picture where they found him, y'all. It's like, how did you do this? How like this shit literally, like, everyone in the background is blurry because it really do look like they said zoom in, focus. Okay.
Oh, somebody dropped his face in the Google image search.
I know, but I'm saying the way the picture looks, like, it really looks like a picture where they said zoom in, enhance.
Oh, you know they did
zoom in 100%, enhance 200%,
enhance will get you every time, won't it?
Google, like, just Minority Report, just hands with on the screen.
200%.
200%, enhance.
250.
Okay, adjust for the reflection. Okay, that's him. That's,
I know, the put the filter through there.
That's the motherfucker, right? We got our man. A Portland area Nazi has been fired from his banking job at Wells Fargo after his ties to alt-right extremist groups, were discovered. Mm-hmm. Andrew Alexander Murphy Harkins. Oh, they found all four of the names.
All four.
Nigga, all four of your names? He went by the name Murphy Harkins. He had participated in marches with the Identity Evropa, which I guess Europa, and Northwest white nationalist group True Cascadia. He marched with white supremacists at the deadly Charlottesville rally, according to the post from Portland Antifa organization, standing right next to alleged killer James Alex Fields. He also has been associated with notorious alt-right brawler Kyle Bass Stickman, Chapman, and Washington State's alt-right Republican Senate candidate Joy Gibson. My favorite part about this, though, is the petty. Nigga, that march was so long ago. That means somewhere...
Niggas ain't forgot.
There are just niggas going through them pictures like, what about that one? Zoom in. Enhance. Got him.
Come on.
I found out the information. He works at Wells Fargo. He's a VP of
come on,
sales associate.
I got his email address.
He's been there 3 years. last year, Harkins appeared in a photo taken by Buffalo Gap Saloon with extremist based Alaska Brittany Pettibone and James Alsop. It was unclear It was unclear why it took the Portland Antifa group a year to out the local Nazi following the publication of the photo. Following the revelations, Harkins and Wells Fargo parted ways. The company would not comment on why, but provided a statement about its values.
Wells Fargo don't want them problems. They keep getting smacked with them consumer lawsuits. They was like, we can't be smacked with them and you too.
Nigga, they didn't even say why they did it, but put out a statement about their values. They might as well just put out a statement that said, because we don't want no smoke. Okay, we don't want no smoke, just take him. Okay, it's not
right. It might be more in here, but we will throw this one off the ship,
right? Here's what you need to know: we don't want no motherfucking smoke. Okay.
Mm-hmm. We don't need y'all coming over here playing this music, investigating all of us.
Damn. Mm-mm-mm. 0 to 100.
Oh, zero.
Yeah, I'm glad they got one. Let's see, how about this one? They rape, kill, destroy Montana Green Party candidate participated in hate fuel anti-immigrant rally. Interesting. I wonder if anyone protest voted for him. A Montana Green Party candidate is an anti-immigration activist who has referred to former President Obama as a Muslim. There's a right way and they're doing it the wrong way, and our black Muslim president is trying to bring this country down, and he's doing a very good job with all his lapdogs, Green Party candidate John Gibney told a reporter in 2016 rally. 2016, y'all. Gibney, 72, he came to the rally with a sign that said they rape, kill, destroy. The newly certified Montana Green Party is also under fire for fielding the candidate who was on the GOP payroll and runs a bizarre nativist anti-higher education group. When asked whether he was seeking to dilute votes for Democrats, Gibney refused to answer. As far as I'm concerned, I'm registering with the Green Party, he told the paper. That's just the way it is. We have open elections, so why not? I'll see how it goes with them. The Montana Green Party chair Danielle Breck said that Gibney's comments about immigrants being rapists and killers and about Obama being a Muslim were somewhat bigoted.
Oh, so it's somewhat?
All I gotta say is this. Is this your king? Cause so many of these purity politic motherfuckers told me Jill Stein, the Green Party, was the way to go, dog.
Yeah, I dealt with the Russians and shit.
Mm-hmm. They got Amari Baraka over there calling Obama a coon on stage in front of that white woman. You might as well have got up and did some dancing for their ass. Fuck that shit. No, I'm not voting for you, you anti-black motherfuckers. Like, what's wrong with people? That's your king? That's what you want me to throw my vote away to? These ungrateful motherfuckers that are so disorganized, they don't know a fucking racist is on that ticket. You know, and what's fucked up is she ain't even got an answer for this shit.
Nope.
If this shit was Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama and somebody down ticket from them was talking some wild yin yang, they would absolutely be in their face like, what you gonna do about this? Why is this okay? This motherfucker claimed to represent your party. Do you at least have a statement on what they saying?
Right.
Dog. The Green Party so disorganized, they don't even ask Jill Stein this shit. They just be like, whatever, man. Protest vote. We'll give y'all that 3% of the vote coming next year. Motherfuckers, I swear to God. But in the Facebook post where she tagged Adams, the former GOP employee running against Democrat John Tester for Senate, she said that candidates should be given the benefit of the doubt. The Green Party believes in grassroots democracy and the right make that the responsibility of every citizen to take part in their governing, Breck said. We will not jump to the assumption that there are not true Green Party supporters until they have had the opportunity to show us otherwise. We hope you all would do the same. Fuck you, you milquetoast ass, weak backbone, piece of shit, you racist enabling motherfuckers. Fuck y'all. That's the thing, man. Everything except for the couple of things they want on the ballot is up for debate. This nigga is a racist.
Come on.
And you like, I would hope that y'all would give him a chance.
No.
Maybe this is what the racist people want. Whatever it takes to win the fucking election, I guess. fuck, man, that's, you can't take none of these people seriously, right. Dog.
Donald Trump has set a precedent that racism wins votes.
Right. Anyway, 100 for me.
Same.
All right. Oh, update. That Alabama sheriff who legally took that money to feed inmates and bought that beach house.
Mm-hmm.
Marissa had sent to me on Twitter that apparently the dude who wrote the story about him got arrested and charged with drug trafficking after anonymous call complained the smell of marijuana from his apartment. Qualls, who'd never been arrested before, faces 6 charges of being held on $55,000 bond, she supported. He's detained in jail.
That's a goddamn setup.
In the jail that the sheriff oversees.
A fucking setup. I guarantee you, if he got good connections, somebody's going to lawyer that pro bono, because that's some bullshit. Oh, I write this article about you, then all of a sudden you do this shit, fucking you trying to put me in your system.
Right, he's held in the jail that the sheriff oversees.
Right,
the sheriff that doesn't, that feeds people less than $2 a day.
And we don't think it's a motherfucking problem with this.
He's never been arrested before. He faces 6 charges.
6.
They added extra charges to the case, including the charge of drug trafficking. Which Rainbow City Police Chief said was based on inaccurate weight calculations. The unit counted 14 grams of pot infused in 5 cups of butter as more than 1,000 grams worth of marijuana. Penalties for drug trafficking are extremely steep in Alabama, where people have been in prison for life for the crime. So they're basically trying to send this dude to prison for life.
Right!
Because he exposed the shit. Anyway, update, I guess. Here's another one. IHOP closes the main location to retrain employees after server asked teens who are black to prepay the bill. Gives me a little retraining. You know how you get a little confused. I forget, when I was learning how to serve Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruities, I forgot sometimes my training, and I would be like, oh wait, what do I do here? Am I supposed to make all the black people prepay for their food? Is that what the video said?
I mean, we are the International House of Pancakes. I mean, we are doing the international.
Take your ass to the Africa House of Pancakes if you don't want to prepay, okay? Do we have a go back to Africa House of Pancakes? Because that is what y'all just walked up in.
Go back to Africa.
Okay, this ain't the Wakanda House of Pancakes.
Sure ain't.
It's out here trying to spend money like these good white folk. IHOP in Auburn, Maine. I'm surprised that would be a place of racism. I heard that Bernie Sanders is up from that way, so
I don't know a lot about Maine, but
I don't think they would be racist if Bernie Sanders, who marched with King, came from there.
White up there.
Listen, if I march with King and I am the senator for a state, I feel like the state not racist. So fake news.
You better get the hell out of here. No.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess you disagree. Agree to disagree.
No, ain't no agree to disagree.
Okay. All right. Well. This IHOP in Maine.
Thank you.
Will temporarily shut down for an employee training session on Thursday. Now, guys, boy, is there egg all over my face as your manager. I guess the training just didn't take the first time. So, let's start over from top. Step one, be racist to black people or don't be racist to black people. It's not a trick question, guys. Raise your hand. I'll take the first person that got an answer. Okay, you in the back, Will. Go ahead. Will you be racist or don't be racist? Be racist? Nope, that's wrong. Now see, that would make sense to me too. I've made the mistake. We've all made mistakes, okay? That would make sense to me too, Will. I would be right there with you, but at IHOP, it's funny to me too. Don't be racist is the right answer. Yes, that is right. You don't be racist to the black customers. All right.
I bet you the whole staff is white.
Anybody else want to suggest or answer any questions? Yes, you in the back, Mary. If black people come in, are we supposed to sit them in like a seat, or is there like a pen or something in the background? Oh, Mary, you would, you know, see, I would think that that would be like a different section, you know, for like a colored section or something like that, maybe we would call it. But no, no, you sit them in the same seats we sit everybody else in. I know, we're all learning today. We're all here together. We're gonna open this restaurant back up tomorrow and we're gonna just put on our best sunshiny smiles and we're gonna get back to work, all right? Mm-hmm. Anybody else have any questions? Anybody? Any questions? Susan, yes, Susan, I see you got your hand up. Yes, now when black people come in, are we supposed to make them pay us first and then order their food? Or are we supposed to just kick them straight out and not give them any food? Now see, Susan, that's a trick question. Because there's also the option where you can just, now what do you do when it's a white person? Oh, we serve them and then we give them their bill and they go up front and pay and they get the food. You know, they get the food, then they pay for the food and, you know, let's take out or something like that. Okay, so what we would want to do in this situation, if that customer was black, we would like to treat them like they white. Treat them like they white. Sir, are you sure this is IHOP? I know. The training was very confusing. It was very confusing. When they showed the videos, you know, we all watched the same 2 hours of videos before you get on. Hey, I was looking at it too.
The same papers.
Yeah, it was just, it was crazy. Like, I was looking, I was like, but they skipped the whole section on how we supposed to be racist and stuff. So you would start assuming that you can just do that for yourself. But that's what this retraining is for, to tell you that it's not in the video, so don't be racist. Scott, I see you got your hand up. If you're saying don't be racist, I feel like you shouldn't hire a bunch of racist people. How am I supposed to just reconcile this with my personal life where I don't like black people? Well, Scott, I mean, that's the thing. You're on the clock. You're making $2.50 an hour of ops money. Plus, you do want tips. Well, black people don't tip, Scott. I know what you're thinking. Put your hand down. They don't tip racist people. Scott, I'm telling you, we can't be racist to these black people. We'll be out of business. It's in the papers and everything. Well, all right, you say so. I just don't. So can I go back to being racist off the clock? I mean, we would prefer you didn't. But I mean, if you can't help yourself, then maybe like create a dog avatar on your social media or something. Like,
don't flag.
Yeah, like maybe use an alias or something. I heard Twitter is really good for that, you know, go harassing black people. But let's not do it on the clock, guys, okay? Let's just try not to take off that Confederate. Whose Confederate belt is this? Take this shit off. What is wrong with, what's going on with you? God damn it. We got a lot. We really gotta get this place in shape by tomorrow. And then open back up and serve black people again like nothing fucking happened and nobody lost their job. That's all. Avery Gaine, who was dining at the IHOP location with his parents when the incident occurred on Sunday, shared a lengthy post on Facebook detailing what he witnessed. When they questioned what was going on, a female employee called Gang, I think that's how you pronounce it, Gagney, they told him that they had experienced problems in the past with young customers. Code switch. Young customer, is that what we calling it now? Young customer. I know black don't crack, but are we calling it young now? Is it just like Canadians? Is that what we doing right now? We've had problems with urban customers. I don't want to say the way. we've been having questions. We've been having problems with people with extremely curly hair, if you get my drift, sir. I'm gonna need you to pay up front at IHOP. So they say they experienced problems with young customers skipping out on the bill. The staff added, it's not because of their color. Which I don't know how you feel about it, but for me means it's absolutely because of your color.
Of course.
Listen, I don't have a racist bone in my body, okay? Some of my best slaves are black. But I'm gonna tell you right now.
Not your best ones.
You young people are just, it's these millennials, you know? Y'all are just running out on the check. So we just, just ask that you pay up front. That's all. That's all. Then we'll go back and cook your food. So we just don't want anybody to run out on the check. You know how young people always do. You know, that's right. Anyway, I got a table full of white 10-year-olds. I gotta go and check on them. the fact that she stated is not because of their color proves at all, Gagne wrote, noting that one girl in the group was wearing a hijab. The worst thing about all of this is that one of the teens looked at my mom and I and stated, it's okay. No, it's not okay. This is not okay, and I will not stand for this. Manager Melvin Escobar told, that can't be a white man. No wonder they're getting retraining. Told the Sun Journal, which was the first to report the incident, that he believes the server was trying to prevent a dine and ditch situation. However, Escobar said the waitress was confronted about the situation. This is the first time it happened, and that will be the last time, Escobar said. We don't discriminate against people for what they are or who they are, he added. Management addressed the incident via a restaurant's Facebook page, saying they are handling matters in order to correct the issue. We apologize sincerely on the behalf of our wait staff's actions. A meeting has taken place with all our staff members. Everyone has been made aware of these inexcusable actions and reminded how we handle matters correctly in the future, they wrote. We have rectified the situation and can guarantee this is not what we condone to go on and within our restaurant. The manager added, please spare our credibility as the situation is not a reflection of the service we strive to deliver. Auburn IHOP pride ourselves on providing a happy, enjoyable, memorable dining experience. The IHOP president, Darren Rebelez, also, damn, a lot of brown people, also issued a statement on the incident. IHOP and our franchises have zero tolerance for actions that are or allude to discrimination of any type. The franchisee of this location is working to contact the affected guests directly to apologize for this incident and are taking appropriate actions in line with HR policies. For 60 years, IHOP and our franchisees have strived to create a warm, hospitable dining experience for all guests, and this isolated incident is not reflective of that ongoing commitment. All right, we'll see. 0 to 100.
Oh, 100.
Yeah, 100. Yeah, I think it's $100, dog. Mm-hmm. Come on, dog. That's racist as fuck. That's racist as fuck, dog.
Yeah, y'all had situations before. This is the first time it got this big.
Mm-hmm. They really tried to hit that, like.
Mm-hmm. That's most people go fuck it, or they leave. Like, that's a lot of times what happened. They leave and just won't say nothing about the situation.
Well, you know what it is, Karen. It's these fucking millennials. You know, you ever just go in a place and you see a bunch of millennials standing around? You're like, oh my God. I mean, who started, when we start serving these people, you know? No? Just me, guys?
Yes, you.
Interesting that y'all would, okay. I guess I'm in a room full of millennials right now.
I guess so.
Looking at me with your big millennial eyes, your big old millennial lips.
Dye your dark millennial skin.
Your shiny millennial teeth glowing in the darkness. You probably dance a little millennial jig when you see me coming your way, didn't you?
Jig. Your millennial thug.
Mm-hmm. You know, I went to the movies the other day. I saw Millennial Panther, and that shit was good. Okay. And I had to pay before I could see it, because a lot of people was dying and dashing on the movie. All right. That's so ridiculous, by the way. Fucking racism is so stupid. God.
I told you, it's irrational.
You work at IHOP, dog. What you gonna get, top cop for being IHOP of the week? Like, nigga, calm the fuck down. Now, you never slip out of here with your $4 worth of pancakes. Not on my watch, God damn it.
Come on, that 25 cent worth of batter it took to make them pancakes.
All right, let's do some guest erase, guys. Oh, boy. Mm-mm-mm. One for these jokes, how we get by.
Come on.
Now that it's time for some guest erase. That's right, it's guest erase time. Now that it's time for some guest erase. That's right, it's guest erase time.
Ba-doop-boop.
That's right, it's time for guest erase. The number one game show going across all the podcast land. We read to play news articles from all over the globe. And we ask our contestants today, Karen in the chat room, to guess the race. And of course, all the people playing are racist. All right. I know you guys would make black people prepay at IHOP. I like that Waffle House don't be in the news for racism. How is that possible? I always feel like Waffle House is seedier than IHOP, but maybe not. Maybe I'm just biased from working at IHOP all them years.
Now you talking about a good shooting, a good brawl. Now that's the Waffle House news.
Waffle Houses ain't got no damn. Waffle House ain't got no. That's what it is. Waffle House ain't got enough standards to be racist.
Come on.
They're like, listen, if you made it in the door drunk to go eat this shit, just we don't give a fuck what you're doing. You could be a fucking creature from Rick and Morty. Just eat the food.
That's all. Be like, yes, I'm your cook, your server, your cashier, your bartender. Right. I am everything in here.
How I'm gonna be racist when you nothing, like, I don't have no standards. We just surprised you made it in.
Come on.
Controversy is swirling around a junior high school science teacher in Idaho who's been accused of feeding a puppy to a snapping turtle after the school.
All right.
Idaho officials euthanized the snapping turtle Friday, days after a biology teacher allegedly fed a sick puppy to the animal in front of the students in his class.
Oh!
I said, it was a sick puppy, all right. The snapping turtle, which is deemed an invasive species by the Idaho Department of Agriculture, was seized amid an investigation into possible animal cruelty charges against a Preston Junior High School teacher, whom authorities have not yet identified. The story generated outrage across the internet. Well, listen. White people do not like when you fuck with them dogs.
Mm-mm.
I think we have enough evidence to prove that. That's why when the cops shoot me, I'm gonna wear a flea collar. Right before they kill me. I'm gonna be like, hold on 1 second. Alright, now do it. And then I'm like, revenge, rod, puppy claws, Morrow. He was so cute. Y'all call me Mittens if I get shot, okay?
You got it.
Is that more of a cat name? I don't know.
I don't know.
You got to call me Rover Morrow when I get shot, okay? We're gonna get these white people mad as hell and we'll trick them at the trial. Like, it was actually a nigga the whole time. What? Oh, I just wasted so much time. I could have been at work.
I mean, I've wasted these precious white tears on a nigga. How dare you?
I could have been tweeting All Lives Matter, and here I am in the courtroom talking about a Justice for Rover sign. I wonder why his face was on it. I'm gonna take a picture with that puppy dog filter on Snapchat. That's how we're gonna get him.
Dog.
That's how we're gonna get him in the court.
Trick him.
Get him protesting. No, he's a dog. He just has a beard. He's just a furry dog. What is? I don't understand. All right. The story generated outrage across the internet. Da 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 da. White people was mad. Police said they're increasing security at the school in the district because of threats linked to the March 7th incident. You know what that means? People was like, the schools need to be safe. Get a teacher's gun for the kids. And we need to do this. And we need to do that. And then this motherfucker fed a puppy to a turtle. It was like, I will shoot that motherfucking school up. Not a goddamn kid get in my way. The AR-15 will rain down holy justice on this science teacher. And then this child that watched that experiment of a puppy eating a goddamn turtle. A turtle eating a goddamn puppy. Now I'm ready to kill some kids.
Yep.
That's gonna be the next school shooting. Somebody gonna shoot up this school. It was enough of a threat that our parents thought we ought to have a bit of a presence over there, said the police chief. He said police officers, two police officers and four Franklin County sheriff's deputies were stationed at the schools on Thursday that are normally patrolled by one sheriff's deputy. You know they was gonna run. The district doesn't hold classes on Friday, but officers may return to provide added security on Monday. It's funny because it's true. They was going to run if somebody would have showed up. Preston's parent, Farrellyn Hansen, says she is upset about the treatment the teacher has received, not the act of feeding the puppy to the turtle, which she called humane. Hansen's two boys were among the three students who witnessed the act. A bunch of fucking serial killers in the making. My kids are very upset about the way he is being portrayed in the news. I'm outraged at people making comments they have about him. He spent his whole life showing kids how to care and feed animals. Feed animals to animals. You missed a part of that sentence, ma'am. That ain't cool. He fed a puppy to a... What is wrong with these people? Local animal rights activist. Right. How is that? He, that poor man. I can't believe y'all doing this to him. Oh, man. Local animal rights activist Jill Parrish filed a police report after hearing about the incident. A lot. She said, now listen, when they shot that nigga up the street, Tyrone, now that was different. Okay. I I said he shouldn't have been out in the street with his hands up, but a fucking puppy ain't do nothing to nobody. Allowing children to watch an innocent baby puppy scream because it is being fed to an animal, that is violence. That is not okay, she told KTSU. By the way, the 2004 film Napoleon Dynamite was set in Preston, which has a population of 5,200 people. Guess the race of the teacher.
Oh, that was white. I guess he got snapped into place.
Don't know what the pun is, but yeah.
A snapping turtle.
I know, I just snapped into place doesn't mean anything.
Oh, no, I told you, my shit ain't got to make sense now.
Oh, snap. Alright.
He out there with them bras and that snapback.
I guess it was a hot dog.
Yes, hot dog! Yes, hot dog.
All right, so let's see. Bill Nye, the white guy. I didn't know I couldn't do that. White, only white people would give a turtle the death penalty for killing a puppy. By the way, they didn't mention they fired him either. Mm-mm. He will get a nice article about him in the New York Times. White as fuck. It's a turtle eat dog out there, world out there in Methville. White Crocodile Dundee hot dogs. White misguided white recipes. White definitely a white man. Whitey, but white. Hit your pets because they killing all the animals. White. Hide your pets. The correct answer is white. I don't have a picture of him. I just know he white. Subi. I'm racist too, guys. I'm in on it. Let's see here. Another officer is arrested for bringing alleged spice to Leakesville prison. Okay, brought the spice, y'all. It assumed
spice.
Mm-hmm. Brought the spice.
Pumpkin.
I don't know. I'll read it and tell you. It'll soon be harder to find news from Hattiesburg, American. Okay, I don't care about that. Another correctional officer at South Mississippi Correctional Institution was arrested Wednesday after what was believed to be an illegal drug that was found in her car. Katrina Denise Turner, 38, of Natchez, was arrested after a canine unit hit on an envelope which was filled with a leafy substance believed to be spice. The envelope was in Turner's car at the Leakesville prison during a search of employees in Area 1 and part of Mississippi's Department of Corrections Operation Zero Tolerance. In February, Jadija Rawls, 21, a correction officer trainee hired in November, said Diane Phillips, 64, a correctional officer since February 2014, were arrested in February for bringing contraband into prison. In May 2015, Megan Lynn Dees, 30, a two-year correctional officer, was caught attempting to introduce contraband into prison. She was sentenced in November to 5 years with a recommendation for placement in the recidivism reduction program. Turner, who was hired October 17, 2016, was transported to the Greene County Jail and booked on the charge of possession of a controlled substance. She also faces termination. This arrest should serve as notice once again to the staff, just like inmates and visitors that are subject to being searched, said Commissioner Policia E. Hall. This individual came to work obviously forgetting that fact, and I have zero tolerance for that. If convicted, she faces up to 7 years in prison and a fine of $25,000 and would not be eligible for probation, parole, a suspended sentence, or any other sentence reduction, Hall said.
Good God, black.
All right, Karen's going with black. Let me check the chat room and see what you guys believe. They making lorries illegal in Mississippi. Goddamn, black. That spice. White people think spice is contraband. Makes sense. Black woman. White people don't know how to season the food, so Denise brought some spice. Black. Well, only a black woman could get arrested for a little spice. She should have just claimed it was seasoning salt. Black. I pops flavor and I drip spice. Black. Black. This is so black, and I bet one of them is pregnant. Obey. Black. Aww. All these charges. Black. Spice it. Black. May even be a strip of black. The correct answer is black. We are at the break. I'm gonna come right back and we're gonna finish this one out, and I'll put it on screen. nobody missed that one. Mm-mm. She was black as hell too. Wait till y'all see this picture. And let me get you back on screen real quick. There you go. And I will share my screen with you guys so you can see what her black ass look like. Like, she's so black, she got well, y'all will see in a second.
But, oh.
Yeah, yeah. She got a do-rag on in her inmate picture. I know them waves cooking under there.
Oh, you know they are. It's gonna be way bad.
Sporting waves. But yeah, she definitely did it. But good luck. You know what I'm saying? Hope you get out of there. Alright, let's go to the bonus round. What's my bonus round music? Yeah, that's right. Oh, I hit it too many times. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right. Double the points, double the race, and a bonus round to guess the race. So far, Karen is 2 for 2.
I know. Can you believe it?
Let's see how she messes it up in the bonus round.
Right?
All right. I believe in you. I think you're going to be 3 for 3.
I'm going to try.
A Minneapolis man, urinated in his co-worker's water bottle after she rejected him. Well, that's one way to convince her, right? Well, now she have to date me.
I know she had to get them electrolytes up, apparently.
Yeah, I guess he was pissed. Upset that a woman had turned down his romantic advances. How romantic could it have been? A Minneapolis man urinating his co-worker's water bottle. Conrado Cruz Perez, 47, was charged with 2 counts of adulterating a substance with bodily fluids. That's a law. According to the criminal complaint,
it's a law for a reason. 2 million motherfuckers been peeing in water bottles, apparently.
Mm-hmm. According to a criminal complaint filed against him in Ramsey County District Court, the first count is a gross misdemeanor. The second is a misdemeanor. Well, let me tell you something. They both sound pretty gross.
That's what I'm about to say.
Deputies responded to Perkins Restaurant in Van Nuys. Okay, Van Nuys. All right. Wait, why did this ad pop up? Okay, we get it, man. In Van Nuys, Heights last October, after a 42-year-old employee at the restaurant reported she was being harassed by a baker. She told the investigators that she noticed several, occasions over the past few months where the water bottle she keeps at work tasted like urine.
Oh.
Right? Why was he so salty? I mean, as a baker, you think he wanted to smash them cakes?
You never know.
The incident started after the woman told Cruz Perez, her coworker, that she only wanted to be friends after he expressed a romantic interest in her. Yeah, that she dodged a bullet, because if it would have been, imagine what he had been like in a relationship. This dude's terrible.
Come on.
He need to go to jail.
Yes, he does.
Cruz Perez initially denied tampering with the woman's water bottle when deputies first interviewed him about the allegations, but he later admitted to once urinating in a container after investigators suggested they might conduct DNA testing on the bottle, the complaint said. Cruz then said he had to go to the bathroom when the incident occurred, but that the restaurant was too busy at the time for him to use the facilities. He added that he had forgotten to throw away the water bottle after relieving himself in it. You know how you get so busy when you're back there cooking and you just can't make it to the restroom, so you pee in a bottle? You ever been that busy at work, guys? It's too busy. It's too swamped. I gotta pee in a bottle. It's the only way. Did you wash your hands after you finished cooking everybody's food? Anyway. He added that he'd forgotten to throw away the water bottle after relieving himself. The woman told investigators she noticed the taste of urine in the bottle about 15 times over the past several months. So, you know, 15 times it got busy. What I'm supposed to do? Pee in this water bottle that of the woman whose sperm I advances, or go all the way across the restaurant to a bathroom and pee like a human being, like the rest of the restaurant is doing? How come no one else is peeing in bottles? Cruz made his first appearance on the charges last week. His attorney, Adriel Benjamin Villarreal, said his client had not yet entered a plea in the case. We haven't made a decision at this point. He declined to comment on the allegations made against his client. Cruz Perez could not be immediately reached for comment. Yeah, I would decline commenting too. I mean, what the fuck can you say? Sir, would you like to have a comment on why this dude pissed in the water bottle? I don't know. This is my life now. Okay? This is what I do for a living. Okay? I don't question how you do your job. Just please leave me alone. So that's no comment? Yeah, no comment, man. How do you plead? Please. Don't put him in jail for a long time. I don't know. On my knees. A manager at Perkins said Cruz Perez previously worked as a baker at the restaurant but was fired immediately following the allegations. His next court appearance is scheduled to take place March 28th. Yeah, I couldn't imagine having to still work with this nigga. Karen, guess the race.
Cruz Perez. Okay, I'm going to go Latino Mexican.
All right, cool. Let's check the chat room, see what they believe. DACA don't know him, and these Trump is gonna deport them, build a wall around him. Latina. Minnesota, not so nice. Latinx on ice. Latino, a bad hombre. Latinx flirted with her earlier by filling her water bottle off his back. Should have used the water from his back. Dirty Mexican. Jesus, Juwan. He said, you're in for a treat, Hispanic. Agua, man. Fuego ice piss, Latino. Those are some good ones at the end. But yes, he used Latino. Everybody got it. Latinx. This picture should be coming up. Yeah, it's crazy too, because they found his Spotify online and they posted it too. His Spotify playlist.
Oh, I see watches.
Watches. Oh, wait, let me scroll up. That's him. Oh, wait, there's a bigger picture here. Hold on a second. Sorry, guys. There you go. Now you see it?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so they hacked him and they put his Spotify playlist online, Karen. And they had it on Twitter. You know who his favorite artist was?
Who?
Pissy Elliott.
Oh no.
I know. I'm sorry, guys. I couldn't help myself. All right. I just had to relieve myself, guys. I couldn't last to the end of the show. sore ratchet this time. Somebody in chat said I heard it was R. Kelly.
Aww.
More like R. Kidneys. You know what I'm saying, guys? That's where P come from. All right. Wait, I already did this guy. Let's find another one. How about Samurai Sword wielding children launched terrifying attack on defenseless shopkeeper. Samurai sword wielding children in masks launched a terrifying attack on a defenseless shopkeeper as he desperately tries to fend them off.
Shit.
The gang of yobs, who were also brandishing a hammer, burst into a shop in Merseyside and took a swing at the shop assistant. Chilling CCTV footage shows one of the hooded thugs pointed a samurai sword at the worker's throat. The robber with the sword slashes and hacks it through the air of the shop at the shop assistant while another man points a hammer at him. In the footage, the shop owner tries to stop the gang who began to raid his countertop of items, but he narrowly avoids having his arm chopped off by the thug armed with the sword. Meanwhile, the other two members of the armed gang filled up bags of mobile phone products from the smash counter. Bravely, the shop assistant steps forward and tries to thwart the gang while seemingly making a phone call to police on a tablet device. The man with the sword continues to slash through the air as he leaves the shop. The gang are then seen to run out the front of the shop. However, instead of immediately fleeing, they begin to use their weapons to smash the front window before running away. The armed attack happened February 22nd around 6:30 p.m. at Top Class Shoe Repairs. Damn, they robbed the shoe repair man store.
Right.
The business is split into two shops. Well, now it is. A shoe repair service at the front and a mobile phone repair service at the back. The owner of the shoe repair business said his colleague was shaken by the attack, but didn't know how close he had come until he watched the CCTV footage back. Detective Inspector Terry Davis of Merseyside Police said that told the Liverpool Echo, business robberies such as this are thankfully rare in this area, and I would appeal to anyone with information to contact us immediately to help us remove these people from the streets. Thankfully, the member of the staff was not injured, but they are understandably extremely shaken, and to be faced with such an incident where you are simply trying to make a living is despicable and desperate behavior. The victim is being supported by officers, and I would urge anyone with any information, however small, to call us, as it may be vital to our investigation. I want to assure all residents and businesses that we will do everything possible to identify the offenders and bring them to justice. Yeah, so be careful out there, guys. Go to the shoe, your job, work at the shoe company, end up getting cut up. All right, man, we'll be back. Thank you so much for listening, guys. We appreciate y'all. Until tomorrow, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.